You're in a good place now. Relax. Breathe. Smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and entertainment, where relevant topics are discussed and where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, live on 660 The Answer.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, in the light of the recent headlines, we're going to explore the six factors that lead to domestic abuse. You know, how to honestly assess if you or someone you know is in an abusive relationship. And also, later on, we're going to discuss the specific consequences that we believe that abusers should have to undergo. You know, in the recent headlines we've been experiencing all over town, you have everything from ESPN to, I mean, every single station you can think of are weighing in on some issues that have recently taken place, whether it's Ray Rice, Adrian Peterson, Greg Hardy, Ray McDonald, the list goes on. I mean, and this is all about spousal abuse or also about child abuse.
Yeah, you know, Ashley, you know, the NFL, it's not been the best weeks for the NFL, has it?
Bill, it has not been the best week for the NFL. It hasn't been the last best weeks. I mean, it's been a pretty bad time.
Yeah, been a pretty bad time. In fact, one of the major columnists for Sports Illustrated, Peter King, he led off his weekly column with, you know, should I even like the NFL anymore? You know, that's how bad it got.
Well, like, I think Anheuser-Busch is pulling out right now as we speak. I mean, there's people all over the place, sponsors that are pulling out.
A lot of sponsors pulling out, threatening to pull out. You know, the NFL is like any other corporation. You threaten their pocketbook. And you watch how fast they respond. And I think we've seen that.
And I think that's interesting because a lot of people don't really see the NFL as a corporation. You know, we all see it as an institution. We see it as entertainment. We see it as what we've grown up to see.
America's passion.
Yeah. You know,
if baseball is America's pastime, then football is America's passion. And the NFL is making money hand over fist.
Yeah.
You know, a $1 billion corporation, literally.
It's amazing. And we don't really think about it as a corporation. And now when you think about it as a corporation, think about if you had a company and you had Ray Rice, Adrian Peterson, Greg Hardy, Ray McDonald, and the list goes on, and you had all those people working for you.
Well, but that's a good point that you just brought up, Ashley. You know, there are umpteen multi-million dollar, billion dollar corporations out there. You know, Microsoft, Apple, you know, American Airlines. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. I'm sure that they have people working for them who are abusers or victims of abuse. It's just that you don't hear about it. But the NFL being such a high profile institution, like you were saying,
right? You hear about it.
You know, these athletes are, whether they like to be or not, they're role models, and people want to emulate them. Children want to emulate them, and that's why the NFL has to be so careful about this. And so that's why, you know, I don't think that the percentage of abusers in the NFL is any greater or lesser than the general society.
I think it's a good petri dish of what we have.
Yeah. I mean, it's a mirror of society. And
I agree with that. And I agree to the point that I feel that, you know, kids do look up to these players.
And that's why you've got to pay particular attention. And that's why, of course, we'll get into this later in the show. In my opinion, that's why the consequences for these guys has to be greater than what the general public would face, specifically because they have the ability to affect so many the lives of so many people, including children.
Okay, let's talk about that real quick. So let's think about a notable couple that had abuse. You have, what, Chris Brown and Rihanna? Chris Brown and Rihanna? Think about that. And recently, was it Rihanna had a song that was coming out for the, what was that for, the NFL or at the beginning of the pregame?
Yeah,
or?
For CBS, one of her songs, I forget which one it is off the top of my head, it was going to be featured as their theme song. You know how ABC has, you know, Monday Night Football?
Are we ready to rumble? You
know, well, I mean, are you ready for some football?
Are you ready for some football?
That type of thing. And so they're going to use one of Rihanna's songs for their theme song. Well, they pulled it last weekend. I mean, you know, last Saturday and Sunday. And, you know, Rihanna, you know, reacted very badly to that. It's like, why are you pulling my song? You know, she, you know, said some bad words on Twitter. But the reason being, of course, was that she herself was the victim of domestic abuse.
And she was a victim, but she also wouldn't go against her abuser.
She backed out. She enabled
She enabled that abuser.
Her abuser.
And several people do that.
And that's not really the best role model that you want to have. Because, and Sports Illustrated actually made a good point of this, do you know that actually 35% of the league's fans are now women? I mean, women are becoming sports fans. I mean, it used to be, you know, the stereotype of, you know, the man, you know, watches the sports and the women is just bored, you know. Well, females are making up more and more the sports consumers nowadays. And so you've got to cater to that particular audience.
And I agree. I think it spells a bad situation when you put her song in there, and it's not like she hasn't come out with songs that were about violence and sex and violence and,
you know,
and things
Boy.
Like that.
You ever heard Rude Boy?
No, I haven't.
It's basically in a nutshell, it's glorifying rough sex.
And see, I think this all happens after the abuse, and that's what's hard to understand, is that when somebody's gone through that, you would think that they would take the ground of, you know, I want to power women instead of the other way around. And yeah, I guess her song was going to be on that Thursday Night Football, and CBS issued a statement on Tuesday earlier this week saying that they were going to move in a different direction, and they were actually going to do the music in-house from now on, and that at least for the rest of the remainder of this year.
Yeah, and of course you saw that photoshopped portrait of her, right? You know, the game face?
Oh, yeah, the game face with the big, she's got the big right bruise over her
eye. The black eye.
The black eye. Yeah, like most abused people have, you know, most abused. And I don't say women, too. I'm not going to just say abused women, because there are a lot of abused men out there. You got to think about it. I mean, a man is not going to necessarily want to talk about his abuse because he feels like he's less of a man. But think about how many men out there are probably being abused on a daily basis by women, emotionally, mentally, physically.
Even physically, you know, and I know from my own perspective, it would be very hard for me to admit that I was being physically abused by a woman. You know, cause you know, you're supposed to man up, right? You know, I mean, she's just a woman, you know, just take it. But, you know, abuse is abuse. And, and whether you're male or female, you can be not only an abuser, but you can also be a victim of abuse.
Well, and think about what was going on with the Chris Brown Rihanna thing. I mean, like, all that abuse took place, and everybody knows how tragic and how much that was. And then I guess she got back with him again, and then they've gotten back together again, and they posted their pictures on Twitter and what have you. And he's never really said anything one way or another, I don't think.
He's
and,
never really apologized for it.
Nothing.
I mean, she finally broke up for good with him, or at least we think for good.
Yeah.
We'll see how long that
lasts. Abusees usually go back.
Yeah,
you know?
But, you know, so I'm going to be real interested to see what you say about this, Ashley, because I personally don't get why women will stay with an abuser. You look at Ray and Janae Rice. I mean, you know, and that's kind of what kicked off this whole hornet's nest. In fact, we just seen the recent video.
Yeah, where he struck then fiance. Right?
I mean, it's close fist. I mean, yeah,
it's hard that she fell unconscious onto an elevator floor, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of people saw that video. I personally didn't want to see it. I saw bits and pieces of it, and from what I saw, yeah, it looked like a real deal there.
I mean, it was a left cross, a left hook.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, a good one too. You know, and it knocked her clean out.
I mean, if you had somebody with a gun to your chest and he was either that, it was a pretty good hit. You know, the thing is that, yeah, he just pulled her out of there like a suitcase, too.
Just like a rag doll.
Yeah, just like, boom, let's go.
See, because, you know, this all came to light earlier this year, and all we saw was the view of him, Rice, pulling Janae out. She was already unconscious at this point, just pulling him out.
And that's a problem we have, too, with the commission and everything that else is going on.
Oh,
if you know that this video was seen in its totality way before we ever saw it. And they just thought they were going to sweep it under the rug and let it go. And I understand how overwhelming it can be when you're in the light of the situation. And you go, oh, my God, what the heck do we do now?
Yeah.
You know, but the thing is that they swept it under the rug. And the problem we have now is that they are literally, like, you know, stuck in a corner where they're going to go out fighting. And they're going to take down anybody they have to. And Ray Rice is definitely an example of somebody that they're going to take down with them.
You know, make him the example. And, you know, at some point you've got to make somebody the example. What has always just... I just can't wrap my mind around this, Ashley. Through it all, Janae Rice, I mean, then his fiancée, now his wife, has, for lack of a better term, stood by her man. I mean, and, you know, people were outraged that Rice only got a 2-game suspension. The reason why is because she actually went to the commissioner, Roger Goodell, and basically begged him for mercy, you know, saying that, look, I was 50% at fault, I caused it, and you shouldn't really punish him that much.
Yeah.
If that's not an enabler of abuse, I don't know what is.
And see, I don't either. I mean, that's the key right there. And I think that's key to what we got going on, is that when anybody's being abused, that's basically what they do, is they take the side of their abuser, you know, and a lot of times there could be reasons for that. One, you know, they've dealt with it in their past, and we're going to go through all this later on, and a lot of it, too, can be the lifestyle. I mean, it's not like Ray Rice is a poor man financially.
No.
You know, and there's a reason why you get married to that. There's a reason why, I mean, she wasn't even married to him yet. And then she went on and got married to him after what happened.
All this happened. I mean,
so everybody listening, the elevator thing happened before she married him.
Right.
She had a chance to get out then, but she chose not to.
Right.
She made her choice.
What kind of message does that send to women?
What does it send? What do you think?
Well, and also, what kind of message does that send to men? In that kind of situation, you know, it's okay, you know, for you to do that, because, you know, your woman's going to stand by you.
Yeah, and it's no big deal. And you know what? It's just whatever it is. And you had to do it. And there's back in the day, you know, back in an earlier time and place, remember, you were allowed to beat your wife. And I think that we have to really look at this and see, you know, what is it? What's going on in the recent headlines? Why is this such a big deal? Why it should be such a big deal? Because, you know, I normally don't talk about certain things, you know, and this has really hit home, because I think that this is a predication of where our society is going. Based on how we deal with this domestic abuse, based on how we deal with the situation, dictates a lot of things in our future. And this is highly important. So stay tuned, because when we return, we're going to be exploring the 6 factors that lead to domestic abuse. And later on, we're also going to be talking about our chosen consequences that we believe that the abuser should have to undergo. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in 2 shakes.
I'm learning to fly. Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. A glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, in the light of the recent headlines, we're exploring those 6 factors that lead to domestic abuse. How to honestly assess if you or someone you know is in an abusive relationship, and the specific Perspectives consequences that abusers should have to undergo. You know, in the last segment, we were discussing Ray Rice's situation, Adrian Peterson, and I think both of these situations resonate tonight because we're dealing with this abuse. I mean, whether it is spousal abuse, whether it is child abuse, but what about Greg Hardy? What about Ray McDonald? What about those? I mean, Bill, what's your take on this?
Well, I mean, I think that a similar situation to Ray Rice. You know, I don't know as much about those cases as I do about the Ray Rice and Adrian Peterson thing, but, you know, they basically, you know...
Greg Hardy was with the Carolina Panthers, right? And they found him guilty of abusing an ex-girlfriend, correct?
Right.
Okay.
Is now his ex-girlfriend, yeah.
And then Ray McDonald was with the 49ers, but they haven't found him guilty.
Right.
He turned 30 years old. It was his birthday. He had a party, right?
Right.
And they're still waiting to go to trial or some sort of jury on that.
The 49ers, they're doing, they're basically suspending him until the case is adjudicated, which I think that's an appropriate thing.
Well, I just think that they don't have a guideline here. I mean, Keenan, you know, we were talking about this on break. I just don't think that, the NFL, like the league, has guidelines on this. They're just doing things haphazardly, though. I mean, what is it for one person versus another? Who gets suspended on this? How many games do they get up? They get taken out of the league. I mean, all these different things. Like, there's no actual formulation.
Well, the formulation is based off how many jerseys they sell.
That's it.
Pretty much what it's based off of, because the thing is, though, I mean, when it's all said and done with the NFL, they got to sell tickets, they got to fill up those stadiums, and on top of that, they got to sell those jerseys just to keep the lights on, even though they are I don't know how many billions of dollars, but they're actually classified as a non-profit organization.
But well, believe it or not,
they really are.
They're exempt from the antitrust laws.
What do you mean? Yeah.
It means that basically they can they don't have to pay taxes.
No,
and
they don't.
They can also,
they get subsidies also.
Yeah,
Man, I want to be in the NFL. I want to have my own team.
You. Why do you think guys go through all they do to get to the? I mean, we were saying during the break, these players are $40 million slaves.
I mean,
would you like to be a $40 million?
I'm like, I'm like, well, the thing is though, I mean, with the NFL, it is kind of different, you know, in a way, because they get game checks. That's how they get paid. I mean, they get paid through the games they play. So when it's all said and done, throughout the course of a year, they get paid probably 16 times a week, and that's during the regular season. Now they get even more money during the during the playoff season, you know, Super Bowl
for bonuses,
bonuses and everything else. But other than that, like for example, during the offseason, those guys are not getting paid. You know, and like some of those guys who aren't starters, like the guys that we don't know anything about because they sit on the bench, you know, they might have spent like a lot of their money, or the practice squad guys. Yeah, the practice squad guys, or like even those the second or third string offensive linemen, you know, because I heard Nate Newton talking about it on the radio how, you know, they've become to training camp, you know, and like a lot of those guys be broke because they spent a lot of that money. And the thing is, in certain cities, like i.e. Dallas, I wouldn't be surprised if they spent all that money, because the thing is, there's really not a whole lot to do in Dallas except spend money.
I do think it's interesting, though. I mean, I agree with the money concept, but I do think it's interesting how we're going through this whole process. And I agree that it's only a few individuals. It's not like it's across the board. But I do think that, you know, there's certain factors based on this. I think there's certain reasons why this happened. I think that what they're doing right now is kind of overlooking the reality of the situation and just going straight to some sort of consequence. And I think that's needed to a degree, but I think that they're actually missing the boat.
Well, actually, I definitely think that you're right. They did not have a specific policy before all this happened. It's the classic case of closing the barn door after the horses have gotten out.
You know, exactly.
They didn't think to make a policy until all this PR stuff just blew up in their face.
Well, I want to know what's going on with the NFL Players Association. So we haven't had them step up and say anything either.
Well, actually, the Players Association, to my knowledge, I mean, like, they're like those players who you mentioned, they're getting them reinstated. You got to understand, the Players Association is a union.
Yes.
That's what they are. They are a straight-up union, much like the United Auto Workers.
Yeah, you know, they're going to get them back on the job, the playing field,
exactly,
and back in the game.
Exactly, because when it's all said and done, they want to make it to the playoffs. And if you don't make it to the playoffs, I mean, that's less jersey sales.
You don't get the subsidies, the money.
Exactly. You don't get the shoe endorsements. You know, you don't get the commercials where you're drinking the Gatorade or anything like that.
Or the Budweiser or the Ramada Inn.
You're taking money out of their pockets.
I'm like, when it comes to like, you know, television and advertising and making money and whatnot, the NFL is the biggest cash cow in the United States out of all programming there is.
Yeah. Now, I personally think that, like, especially for Ray Rice and Greg Hardy, I think the suspensions are going to stick. I also think that for Adrian Peterson, and you know, just to briefly talk about his case, you know, for anybody who doesn't know, he recently admitted to disciplining his 4-year-old son by spanking him with a switch, which is like a, you know, like off a tree,
which is old school. Actually.
Which is old school.
Yeah, because that happened to me a lot.
It happened to me too. Yeah. And that was Peterson's defense. Is that, look, I mean, that was how I was disciplined when I was a child, and I was using the same technique. Well, you know, times have changed.
Well, yeah.
And you know, when I first heard about it, I'm like, okay, folks, you know, here we go. The whole spanking is abuse crowd. You know, here we go. But then I saw the pictures. And I do think he lost control and went a little too far.
I never did see the pictures. However, I did read something, and I believe, I think it was Gawker.com, and they were talking about why the New York Times did not show any of the footage that TMZ obtained of Ray Rice pretty much giving his girlfriend a left hook.
Well, probably there's several reasons for that, though. I mean, there's a lot of people that don't want to see it.
No.
Didn't you say you didn't want to see it?
No, I don't like to see it.
Well, actually, the most important reason why they didn't show this clip is because it was found out that that clip is actually edited.
Ah.
Yeah, TMZ edited that footage.
Well, I don't doubt that TMZ, because, I mean, they're like, you know, the National Enquirer.
Yeah, and like any time you show video evidence of something, it has to be unedited.
What part did they edit, do you know?
Well, from what I know, they smoothed it out, because the thing is, the original footage is actually very grainy. Mm-hmm. It's very grainy.
Well, because it's a little camera inside of an elevator, probably, but hidden behind glass,
camera.
Right?
Yeah, security camera. So, yeah, it was really grainy, and the thing is, you have to look at it several times to make it out. Yeah, to even know what happened. Like, you have to watch it, rewind.
They enhanced it, you know, for you know, viewing, you know, but you know, since they did that, you can't be for sure that, you know.
Well, yeah, if it's been tampered with in any sort of way, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like, news outlets like New York Times is not going to Right. They're not going to show that video.
Well, they're also
on their
not going to cow down to TMZ. I mean, no,
well, yeah, exactly. They're not going to cow down.
TMZ, come on.
Yeah,
I mean, that's like saying, okay, oh, the Kardashians had a video, so we're going to use that on the Wall Street Journal. You know,
so the New York Daily News will probably show it on their website, but not the New York Times.
Well, yeah, New York Daily. But
yeah. I like the New York Daily. No, but you know, Anheuser-Busch just earlier this week actually came out with a statement. You know, they said they were disappointed and increasingly concerned by the recent incidents that overshadowed the NFL. You know, they also said that they weren't satisfied with the way that the league was handling the behavior, and that it goes clearly against their own company's culture and moral code. And they've shared their concerns with the league, but at this time, they have not pulled out sponsorship or advertising.
No, they're not going to pull out sponsorship or advertising, because this time of the year is probably the best time of the year to sell beer.
Yes.
It just is, point blank, period. You know, and
this is what keeps them in business for the rest of the year.
Yeah, this is what keeps them in business. And on top of that, one reason why we're hearing so much about the abuse that's going on is because as of probably today, 50% of the NFL audience is now female.
I read 35%, but I
thought it was 50. 50.
Okay,
whether it's 35 or whether it's 50, 50, that's a large component.
Yeah,
yes.
Okay. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is.
And by the way, that's the reason why. It was funny. My husband the other day was sitting there going, why is it that they pick these women to be on the sidelines? You know, and you know what I'm saying? They're normally middle-aged, not middle-aged, but, you know, older women. I mean, we're not talking like 18-year-old, you know, works over at Hooters, okay? But they're older, more distinguished-looking women, you know, beautiful women, okay, given that. And he said, do you think it's because there's more women watching it and they kind of gravitate and listen to a woman talking on the sidelines when they're interviewing the coaches? And I go, you know what? That's right. That's why they picked these women on the sidelines, because it actually, you know, works with the women watching.
And if you go to any like merchandising outlet, you notice that there's a guys and a girls merchandising section.
Not only that, psychologically speaking, a man is more likely to either listen to a woman's voice or a deep authoritative voice.
Right.
That's why.
I'm glad I have that deep voice. So when we come back, we're going to explore the six factors that lead to domestic abuse. We're going to also determine how you can honestly assess if you know someone that's in an abusive relationship, if they really are, and the specific consequences that we believe the abuser should have to undergo. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 660 The Answer.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, in the light of the recent headlines, we're exploring the six factors that lead to domestic abuse. How to honestly assess if you or someone you know is in an abusive relationship, and the specific consequences that abusers should have to undergo. You know, in the last few segments, we've been discussing the Ray Rice, the Adrian Peterson, the Greg Hardy, Ray McDonald, and also a little bit of the Rihanna and Chris Brown situation, you know, to discuss spousal abuse and child abuse. And I think what we need to go into now, because we kind of get the picture, we know what's going on, is the six factors that lead to domestic abuse, because there's reasons why this happens. There are reasons why people abuse another person. There's a reason. There's a scientific method. There's a psychological situation that's involved, and that's what we really need to kind of look at right now. So let's take the first one, which I think a lot of us can relate and understand, is that the abuser viewed, whether it's his parents or family members, abusing other family members.
In other words, it's normal.
It's part of their
environment.
Well,
that is their normal. I mean, if you know, when you come out the womb and, you know, dad is beating up mom from the time you come out the womb, guess what? That is normal to you, because that's what you see.
Because that's normal.
Yeah, that's normal. If you don't see anything different, then of course you're going to think that's normal.
Yeah.
You know, so that's what it is. And it's just, it's one big circle.
Yeah, it's a cycle.
Yeah, it is. It's just one big cycle to where, you know, they grow up and like they go through their adolescent years and everything like that. And you got to understand, a guy doesn't wake up at, say, the age of like 25, 30 years old, and all of a sudden he starts beating up women.
I totally agree with that.
It's not like somebody flips a switch or whatever.
No,
you don't just go, bam, I'm going to start beating some women.
No. What pretty much happens is this. You know, he's growing up and everything like that, and like he sees, you know, maybe dad or mom's boyfriend. A lot of the time it's mom's boyfriend, you know. beating up his mom.
Yeah.
But yet, does mom leave? No, mom doesn't leave. Mom stays.
Because of money, because of finance, because of security.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah.
You know, Jhené Rice type situation.
Yeah, exactly, you know? Yeah. Exactly. Well, the thing is, though, so they grow up and then they start becoming interested in women, right? And so then they start talking to women and everything like that. And next thing you know, they're like, okay, well, I'm going to try this because I saw someone else do it. And they learned that when they were young.
It's not even a conscious thought. It's not, I saw this, therefore I'm going to try it.
Right.
It's just, you know, ingrained in their
brain. The last time I saw the situation play out, and subconsciously in their mind, because our subconscious absorbs all that stuff.
Yeah.
So even if you're a kid, and you know, that's a big point here, is that even if the child is sitting in the corner, like trying to put their headphones on and trying to drown out mom and dad screaming and yelling, subconsciously it still goes into their brain. Mm-hmm. When they see, you know, somebody taking a hit or getting punched or somebody, you know what I'm saying? That's all in their head. And then later on down the road, yeah, it comes out. It's going to come out one way or another, whether it's anger, whether it's screaming, whether it's emotional, whether it's mental, or if it's physical abuse.
Not only that, they're also rewarded every time they do it.
That's a good point.
They are rewarded.
What do you mean?
Well, they're rewarded for the simple fact. I mean, like, they might get sex out of it. I mean, they might have companionship out of it. Granted, you know, they might be beating the crap out of them. However, she does not leave.
You're right.
So they are being rewarded for it. Now,
there's certainly no consequences.
Exactly.
Is there?
And the thing is, they know. I mean, here's the thing. They know who to beat up. They do, because, I mean, it's like
they look for the type of woman that mom was.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what it is. It's like people walk around with this aura, right? We can't see it visibly, but the thing is, like, we can detect it. You know, for example, you know, I walk the streets of Dallas, Oak Cliff every day, and like, do people try to start stuff with me? They try, but do they? No.
No, not really.
Because they know that I will fight back, and the thing is, whatever it is from me that you want, you're going to have to sweat for it.
So you're saying there's almost an identity of a victim identity. Like there's a victim target. And I think it's because of maybe years of being the victim.
Mm-hmm.
Because I agree with you. It seems like they do get rewarded, because if it's sex or if they just stay with them or whatever. But they would never like turn around and try to beat up their friend.
No, they won't.
You know? They wouldn't do it. And they're gonna do it behind closed doors, because uh-huh. they don't want anybody saying anything either. So they, to some degree, know exactly what they're doing.
And out of fairness, you know, actually going back to what we said in the first segment, you know, men are victims of abuse as well.
Let's turn the tables on that. Men do get abused by women all the time.
I've seen it.
You have?
Yes, I have. Yes, I have. When I was in the Air Force, as you know, I was a cop. So I actually responded to a lot of domestic violence situations. And I remember there was a call that I responded to, and the guy was on the phone with our dispatch, you know, and he was getting hit with a pot. Because I was there at our dispatch, you know, he's like, oh, you know, she's hitting me. What do I do? And like our dispatch guy said, don't do anything. Don't do anything. So I arrive, you know, my guys arrive over there and everything. And yeah. And like, yeah, she beat him up.
She did?
Yeah.
What was he doing? Cowering? Like, please don't hit me? Or just like, didn't want to like.
No, well, I'm like, he was like, you know, trying to block himself.
Yeah.
You know, but it was one of those things to where it's like, you know, as a man, you really don't know what to do. I mean, for example, even the Ray Rice situation, they asked female fans out in Baltimore. Cause see, everything I know about the Ray Rice situation, I've read it out of the Baltimore Sun. Forget all these other news outlets. I'm going straight to the source.
Straight to the source.
The hometown newspaper.
The hometown newspaper. And the thing is, though, the Ray Rice fans, his female fans, they're still wearing his jerseys. And the question was asked, why? Because here's the thing. What they saw the tape also. And you know what they saw? They saw this woman running up towards him.
Starting it. She started it.
So they look like, look, she started it. And some women are like this. Look, if you start something, here's the thing. Some women are like, if you try to fight a man, be prepared to fight like a man.
You know? I see what you're saying. I mean,
yeah.
Yes, because I think the old school idea of don't hit a woman.
Yeah.
Okay, I understand that. I don't think anybody should hit anybody, okay? I really think that violence is really kind of just sick and sad, and it really tears apart the soul of the person that hits, and it just doesn't work. It's even like when you hit your child, and you spank your child, and the parent goes, this is going to hurt me more than you, but I'm doing this to wake you up. And you know what I'm saying? And it does hurt the parent a lot, because they don't want to hit the kid.
No.
So think about this. you have this situation where, yeah, if somebody's going to hit me, it's hard because do you sit there and you put your arms up? You know, do you try to hide or defend yourself, or what do you do in this situation?
During the break, actually, I was giving you an example of Peter King, you know, in his weekly Sports Illustrated column. You know, he was sitting there saying, gee, I don't even know if I can even watch the NFL anymore. And he was saying that, you know, there is just never, ever, 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 ever a circumstance where a man should hit a woman.
Well, see, I'm not...
Here's the thing. I do disagree with that, because the thing is, though, I mean, if a woman is coming at me with, say, an M1911, which is a 45 caliber handgun, then no,
or how about a butcher knife?
Yeah, or a butcher knife,
or maybe a pot.
Coming at me with something lethal, or like what we talked about last week, baseball bats wrapped in barbed wire. Then yeah, you got to do something to protect yourself. I mean,
I agree with that.
Yeah, I'm like you have to do something. And if it's something, and if someone keeps coming at you and coming at you and coming at you, every now and again, you just got to knock people out.
Well, that's what I wonder about abuse situations. Sometimes I do think that it's the abuse, you know, the abuser abuses the abusee, and it's a constant situation. And a lot of times, the person that's being abused has been in abusive relationships before. The abuser has seen it as well. But there are sometimes that you wonder, you know, was it, you know, did the person, like, basically, you know, spur it on? Were they egging it on? I mean, because sometimes you don't know what was going on. You don't know the argument or the fight or what was happening. And I agree with that. I mean, but I do think that a lot of our abusers actually saw a family member or whoever was raising them be abused. Yeah. I do think that that is... it's like irrevocable. I think that subconsciously we intake all this stuff, even if it was happening on a daily basis. Like, my mom, you know, her real dad, you know, used to beat her mom like every single night.
Ugh.
Okay, and he was a raging alcoholic as well. And yeah, she would watch this and would try to save her sister, and it gets too much for this show at this time. However, she watched that over and over again. My mom is not an abusive woman, but the thing is that my mom would cower down. Okay, because she's seen it. And I guess it's because she has all this inside of her that she let go of some of it, but hasn't been able to, because that's just normal. I mean, it's hard for the human, you know, being to let go of all this stuff. However, that's key. I mean, there's a lot of abuse that happens, and you just get in tune to that.
Well, yeah, Ashley, I mean, and to be fair, not everyone who was raised in an abusive environment is going to become either an abuser or abusee.
Oh, I agree.
I think all we're saying is that it's susceptible.
Oh, I agree with you.
It's kind of like the child of a drug addict is more likely to, or child of an alcoholic is more likely to be an
drug
alcoholic
addict, or drug addict. Drugs.
Yeah, to, you know, to do that. So I agree with you. Everything I've ever seen, if you grew up with it, then it's just more likely to happen.
You're right. And when we return, we're going to be exploring the rest of the six factors that lead to domestic abuse. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes. I can lift you up.
I can show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be. Get in here. Give us your perspective. We're listening. And you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. On tonight's show, in the light of the recent headlines, we're exploring the six factors that lead to domestic abuse. You know, how to honestly assess if you or someone you know is in an abusive relationship, as well as the specific consequences that we believe that abusers should have to undergo. So right before the break, we were discussing the second of the six factors, and that was the abuser was abused by family. And I think we can all correlate with that and understand that when, you know, somebody that's been abused, they were abused by their family, or they obviously viewed it. So let's move from there to the concept of pop culture. I remember, Bill, right before the segment, really, you were talking about pop culture and how, you know, a lot of people listening to certain music, it contains this type of rough references.
Well, yeah, I mean, there are certain genres of music where it seems to me, anyway, that domestic abuse is glorified. And I think we can kind of expand it out to maybe, you know, culture in general. You know, I just think there's still this strain of, you know, if you want to be a real man, then you got to keep your woman in check.
Well, yeah, that's how they define real man. I mean, when y'all sit back and look at the definition of a real man, I mean, it really doesn't even have a definition. when you think about it.
Well, that's true. Yeah, so you got to make it up as you go along.
Yeah, so you make it up as you go along.
So your cultural references, you know, that you grew up around, or that you, you know, the type of music you listen to, the type of TVs or shows or movies that you choose to consume, you know, all those things that, you know, can affect
your subconscious.
Your subconscious,
and affect your life.
So if you listen to, say, you know, music that will glorify domestic abuse, well, you know, and also too, if your circle of friends that you hang out with, if that's a value, then yeah, I mean, you're going to be more susceptible to doing it.
Yeah, you are. I mean, of course you're going to do it, you know, because as you just said, I mean, you are more susceptible, you know. At the same time, I mean, from where I'm from, you never want to be looked at as a punk, air quotes.
Right.
You know, you don't want to be a punk, you know, or anything like that. You know, and at the same time, though, I mean, some of these guys, I'm like, they grow up with, you know, say the single parent mom, and say if they're outside playing as they were kids, and so they get beat up, right? So they go back inside and they're crying to mommy, you know, and guess what mommy might tell them? No, you're going to go back out there and you're going to fight them.
Right.
Mama ain't gonna raise no punk.
You know, that actually, I mean, I grew up in rural West Texas, but I grew up something similar.
So that's what punk means to them. Yeah, because yeah, I see it like as, you know, oh, like sissy or something. Is that what they're saying? Like, you're not, you have to like go raise the bar.
Well, wuss is the term.
Well, I'm like either way it goes, it's feminizing a man. Either way it goes.
And it's that. It goes back to our whole problems in reality here. So we have these problems in life where somebody cries, especially a man's not supposed to cry. But it's like, you know, people are allowed to have emotion, and there's crying of happiness and joy and sadness. And sadly enough, you know, I do think that stems back to a lot of the issues we have with a lot of men, is that they feel like they can't emotionally be emotional. I mean, and I think a lot of that, when there's a lot of anger or there's a lot of sadness or depression inside, it's hard because they want to be a man. But even though really being a man is letting it out, doing what you need to do.
Yeah, and because if you don't let it out, then it could bubble up until it explodes.
Right, and that could be a violent, you know, explosion. That could be, you know, maybe even taking your own life. There's a lot of different aspects of that goes down, you know? And sometimes people just want to alienate themselves and leave society based on that.
Or it could end up hurting the person you love.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, so they say they love them. But, you know.
Well, you know, there's an old Russian saying, you know, if he beats me, then he loves me.
My God. My goodness.
You know, I've heard that said in the United States. I mean, like, remember way back when you know, little girls are outside and they're playing with little boys and everything like that. And then they go home and they say, well, you know, little Johnny hit me. And then what will mom say? Well, he hits you because he likes you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's interesting.
Yeah.
That is a very interesting concept because, yeah, like if they, like, you know, kind of hit you in the arm or kind of do something
or
like
pull,
that.
Or pull your pigtails. Did it ever happen to you, Ashley? You know, the little boy pull your pigtails?
Yes. And I'd be like,
and you hated him, but that's how he was showing you he liked you.
Yeah, he was like, you know, basically, yeah, he liked you. I mean, and that's, gosh. Yeah. Isn't that interesting the way that we really create these things in our mind? I mean, like, you know, I mean, nowadays, I don't know, do people feel the same way about that?
I think there's been a lot less tolerance for, you know, boys will be boys. And,
but I mean, what love is, too. I mean, you know, I know some people that are in relationships, like what you say, like boys, you know, but boys will be boys, but, you know, men will be men or men will be boys or whatever. But I know some relationships that, I mean, like, literally you walk into their world and it's like you're going into another world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, the way that they show love is just like, to me, I wouldn't even do that to my worst enemy. I mean, I don't get it. And I do think that you're right. Pop culture does play, has a presence here.
Well, yeah, and you know, this is kind of a topic for another day. But you know, if you don't know how to love, you know, if you grew up in a type of environment where that wasn't really shown in your family life or whatever, how are you going to expect someone to be able to do it when they're an adult?
No, they're not. They're not.
And so they're going to act out in ways that are not conducive.
So let's trade spots here. Let's talk about alcohol and drug use. And I think this is the fourth factor, right? I mean, I think we've discussed this on break. The fourth factor is the alcohol and drug use. I mean, how many people have fights? And we were talking about this a little earlier, kind of off the record, about how some women, you know, they can drink tequila and, you know, tequila makes her clothes fall off and it's funny yeah. and it's cute and she drops her contact down the sink and she leaves her clothes at the bar, whatever, and it's funny. And you're like, oh, she's so funny. She's so cute. Or you see this other side of somebody come out like this evil woman, and she's like beating up on somebody, or you know, and you know people, especially women, that can be mean when they get drunk.
Yeah. I do know women like that. I mean, that's the way I see it. That's just the way they are, and there really isn't anything changing that. You know, like I know a lot of the women that I do know that, you know, that say beat men, or like,
yeah,
or they will hit a man, right? You know, they do it because they are, you know, quote unquote, the strong black woman, and the strong black woman thing. And the thing is, though, personally, I think the phrase "strong black woman" is the worst thing that ever happened to African American women. Because the thing is, what is strength? Strength means to not show emotion, to always be physically dominant. So you mean to tell me that you want this woman to be feminine, yet she cannot emote?
Just like we were talking about with the man. Like, she can't cry, she can't show emotion.
It's just not going to happen. But when you ask them about it, well, why do you do it? And they'll yell at the top of their lungs, I'm a strong black woman, and I'm not going to let a man do this, that, and the third to me.
And I'm not going to take any crap from a man.
Exactly.
Unless you're Rihanna.
Yeah, well, you know, with Rihanna, I mean, she probably grew up around abuse also.
Probably.
That's probably
why she goes back and forth to Chris Brown.
Exactly.
And, you know, you don't go back to somebody
that. I mean, exactly. And the thing is, here we are on the sidelines, and we're pretty much putting our two cents in about, you know, situation like, say, Chris Brown and Rihanna, you know, but I'll tell anybody like this. Look, Chris Brown grew up around it. In fact, didn't he go on like Oprah or some show stating that, you know, his mom was beat up by boyfriends, as in plural,
yeah,
as he was growing up. So that's all he knows. With Rihanna, you know, her female figure that she saw as she was growing up was probably getting beat also. So to them, yeah, that was normal. And the thing is, though, they get together, they break up, they get together, they break up, you know, and we're sitting back saying, oh, well, that's terrible. And yes, it is terrible because we're from the outside looking in.
Well, it's a cycle of abuse, you know, exactly, on both sides, and they're playing it out for us to see.
Exactly.
I mean, if they have children, they're going to play it out too. I mean, until they get help or treatment, it's not going to stop. And by the way, you got your 2 cents? I'm doing my $1.50 right now.
Right.
So, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, it is what it is. I mean, and I think that that's the key. It's the alcohol and drug abuse as well that adds to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, if it's commonplace, like what Keenan said, if it's commonplace, then that's normal.
Well, and also, you got to think of this too, actually, alcohol and drugs are chemicals, all right? If you ingest them, they're going to affect your brain chemistry,
exactly,
which means your personality is going to change. And it could be,
and that's also with prescription medication too.
Yes.
We're not just talking about street drugs at this point.
Yeah, I mean, right, because prescription medication is actually the number one abused drug in America right now. So, you know, in my experience, we'll talk about alcohol. There are two types of drunks. There are silly drunks and there's mean drunks.
There's funny drunks and fun drunks and mean.
Right. And my own grandfather was a mean drunk. He drank this certain type of bourbon, the certain brand of bourbon, that, you know, if he drank any other type of hard liquor, he was kind of a silly, you know, kind of merry, you know, fun loving. He drank this certain type of bourbon and he just became like mean as a rattlesnake.
Did he realize it?
I think he did, but he just chose to, you know, drown it in alcohol, basically. You know?
So obviously, that was like impacting him in some way.
I'm like, what is anyone going to do to him anyway?
Yeah,
yeah.
What did you say?
What is anyone going to do to him? What are the consequences?
Oh yeah, the consequences.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, like, what are the consequences?
There were none.
Exactly.
So he could do whatever he wants. So
exactly.
There was nobody saying, "Oh, I'm going to do this to you if you drink that bourbon again."
Well, it's not about saying you're going to do something to somebody. It's about doing it.
It's about actually following through. You're right. Hey, when we return, Perspectives, we'll discuss more about the six factors that lead to domestic abuse. We'll talk about that as well as how to know if you or a friend is in an abusive relationship. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
You're in a good place now. Relax. Breathe. Smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and entertainment, where relevant topics are discussed and where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, live on 660 The Answer.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we're exploring the six factors that lead to domestic abuse, how to honestly assess if you or someone you know is in an abusive relationship, as well as the specific consequences that we believe abusers should have to undergo. And right before the break, we were talking about one, I guess number four of the six factors of that leads to domestic abuse. And number four was alcohol and drug use. And I think we've covered that pretty well. Let's move on to major life tsunamis. And I think that's interesting. I think a major life tsunami is something that changes your world, right? It changes. It's the death of a family member, the loss of a career, bankruptcy. And, you know, we've also talked about the concept of when a child is born, how that can impact the life of the family.
Yeah, you know, we were saying that during the break, actually. I've heard of cases where a couple will have a child and the man will all of a sudden be jealous because now he's no longer the center of attention. And so he will lash out violently either at the female or the child.
Okay. I've read some stats on that.
Yeah. So, and you know, also too, I mean, you know, you've heard of postpartum?
Postpartum depression.
Yeah.
Yeah, postpartum.
And, you know, so I've also heard of, you know, women, you know, maybe, you know, reacting violently.
Makes sense to the child,
yeah.
Or to the husband.
Yeah, yeah, to the child. I mean, I've heard. Haven't you, Keenan? I've read cases where I've heard that. You know, the baby cries just one too many times, and then you know, wham,
just loses it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, yeah, that makes sense, and that's an interesting concept too. You know, is it based on that loss? Is it based on that life change? You know, like when somebody and that's a question to ask too. Think about this question. So, I mean, in the situation of Ray Rice, if you're going to take him out of the NFL, let's just look at the circular kind of logic on this. So you take him out, so he no longer plays football. What is he going to do? So then you have this issue. So where does the abuse really end if you're not doing any treatment or nothing like that? So when does the abuse end? If the situation gets even worse, then what's going to happen?
What's going to happen? Actually, we don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah, we don't know what's going to happen. Like, you know, I've heard people say, you know, well, why don't she just leave? Just pack her stuff and go. And packing your stuff and just going requires money to do that. Not only that, though, they say that a woman is 7 times more likely to get killed if she does leave the relationship.
Wow.
Yeah. I didn't know it was 7 times, but I've heard of that.
I believe it was 7.
Go after them?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. here's a good situation, what we were talking about in the last segment, Ashley. You know, as a man, you're expected to, you know, control your emotions and not, you know, show emotions. And you hold them in, hold them in, hold them in until you just explode. And all of a sudden, you know, the one thing you can control, which is the woman in your life, you know, all of a sudden has the temerity to do something independent of her own, and you know, in a mind of an abuser like that, I mean, he just explodes
because what he controlled is no longer being controlled.
Right. Exactly. In him, I mean, in his mind, he's King Kong, and she just lives there. He runs everything.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's what's so interesting about it is the thought process of an abuser is very interesting.
I mean, it goes back to what we were talking about earlier with the concept of ownership, owning a person. I mean, whenever, you know, African-Americans would try to leave the plantation, you know, they're like, oh, well, slavery is so bad, why don't you just leave? Here's the thing, they would try to leave, and what would happen?
They get caught.
Yes.
And returned.
Yeah, they would be hunted down by the master. And then what did the master do? You know, depending how well he worked, he would keep them alive. But the thing is, he will beat them down to a pulp. Now, if he wasn't that great of a worker, he'll kill them. But then again, I mean, slavery was expensive anyway. But like I said, it goes back to the concept of ownership of a person.
Yeah. And you know, Keenan, I also want to touch on what you just said earlier, you know, from the you know, of course, in this particular instance, you know, we're using the male-female dynamic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I mean, you know, if you know, it's human nature to prefer the devil you know to the devil you don't. Fear is mm-hmm. the most, you know, potent emotion there is. For the female victim of abuse to leave the abuser can be more terrifying than actually staying with him.
Right, right. And the thing is, you know, women who are abused, I mean, you know, say they do get out the relationship, but guess what, though? They end up getting right back into the same type of relationship except with another guy.
Right.
You know, like, I remember I told my friend who was in abusive relationships, I told her, I said, look, you're dating the same guy over and over again. She says, well, no, I don't. I'm like, yes, you do. Yes, you do. You date the same guy over and over again. The only difference is their skin.
But she's getting something out of it, though, too. I hate to make the choice, but we make choices based on something we're getting out of it. It might not seem to the outside world that they're getting something, but if I continue to do something over and over again, there's something I'm getting from it. And I know that sounds crazy, but you're right. Think about the fact of a lot of times they might feel responsible for the abuse. And so it's like you have like that psychological component involved with this force and the strong emotion. It's just like when you tie drugs and sex together, okay? Like there's no end to where one ends and one begins. And that combination of that power and that energy, it's almost like they can't figure out who did what first. Okay, I must have deserved this beating, you know, or they feel helpless or they have no support. And you're right. I guess you're right. If they have the fear that they're going to come after them, I mean, that's also the case, too. That might also be why, you know, she's going off, Ray's wife is going off about how he didn't do anything.
Yeah.
Nothing's wrong because she's scared because she doesn't want to get hurt anymore. Or was there something else that's going on?
And,
we don't know.
You know, I mean, quite frankly, she's going to lose her means of support.
Economic dependency.
Yeah, exactly.
On him.
I mean, think about it. She doesn't have to work, but yet she has enough money for hair weave and fingernails. But she doesn't have to work.
Exactly. And that's another key, too. I think a lot of times abuse, when somebody enters a relationship that is abusive, I mean, there is a time that you have a chance to leave. But there's mm-hmm. got to be something in it for them, right? I mean, because if he was just a poor man.
I think she'd have been gone.
Yeah.
I'm just being honest about it. I mean, I'm sure someone listening to this show is probably going to call me a jerk. But the thing is, though, that's just my honest opinion. That yes, if Ray Rice was making $26,000 a year and she wasn't working, and she would leave.
Yeah, she's not going
like,
to be
yeah,
there.
Yeah, but instead of, you know, $26,000 a year, it's more like $26 million a year. You know, and on top of that, do you know how Ray Rice proposed to that woman?
No.
Not only did he give her a diamond ring, but he also gave her a car. He proposed with a diamond ring.
What kind of
a
car?
I don't know. BMW or a car. A car.
Are we talking a Beamer or are we talking a Ford Escort here?
I don't know, but cars. I mean, like, you buy somebody a car?
Yeah.
And a ring.
Yo, that's a lot of money being spent.
Yes.
On a person.
Because I own you.
Exactly.
So here we're going kind of back to the ownership, you know, slave.
Exactly.
But they also buy into it. So the victim is also buying into this as well. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, if any of that part of that video is real, if any of it's real, I mean, just a sliver of that is real. She wasn't married to him at the time. They were engaged.
Exactly.
She could have just took
the
ring.
She tied the knot after.
She could have taken the ring and said, take this ring and shove it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm out of here. But she didn't. Now, I think something very important, Ashley. We are not blaming the victim.
No, okay? We're not blaming victims.
What we're trying to do is explain the mindset.
And the cycle. And there's a cycle because everybody's involved here. It's just like when people have arguments with family members and what have you. They might not have started the argument, but everybody has an involvement. So now let's move to the last but not least. Six factors leading to domestic abuse. The last one is toxic relationships. You know, when someone is pushing you to the limit. I mean, there has been a lot of, I think all of us in the studio, and I think most of us listening tonight on the air, know that they have been in a toxic relationship at one point in time or another. And when they get in a toxic relationship, when you get in one of those, that person might push every one of your buttons constantly, considerably, knowing that they are pushing your buttons and wanting a reaction. I mean, I know that there are some people out there, and you know, just from my background, you know, I'm a counselor and I'm a life coach, but as far as the counselor is concerned, I know people that want to see you get a rise out of you. They'll do absolutely anything to see you absolutely angry. and they get off on that. It makes them smile.
Makes them powerful.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. They want to see you get very angry and even violent because that means something to them. I mean, there's some people out there that don't think, men and women both, that they don't feel that they're, like you said, that the person that's with them loves them unless they get violent or unless they push all their buttons or they start screaming and yelling, you know, over something. And I think it's interesting, but their definition of love is interesting. And I think that's something to be considered. A toxic relationship is a toxic relationship. And they're easily figured out what's toxic and what's right. So stay tuned because we're going to start talking about what we believe is what you should know about an abusive relationship as well as the specific consequences that abusers should have to undergo. So stay tuned because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we've explored the six factors that lead to domestic abuse. And now we're going to look honestly and figure out how to honestly assess if you or someone you know is an abusive relationship. You know, abuse can be categorized in three different ways. It could be physical abuse, it could be mental abuse, or it could be emotional abuse. And a lot of times we don't really realize what's going on, whether it's a friend that we know that's talking to us and telling us situations that we hear, whether it's situations that we see, that we're in a situation where we overhear an argument or we see something happening right in front of us, or whether it's us ourselves in a relationship that's abusive. So I think the first thing we want to look at is if somebody feels afraid of their partner much of the time. And I think that when somebody feels afraid of their partner, a lot of times maybe the partner humiliates them or yells at them. And when you're feeling afraid of your partner, you don't want to feel afraid of your partner. I mean, that's not a normal relationship.
True story, Ashley. Before I even got into the insurance business, for about 6 months after I got out of college the first time, I was a door-to-door vacuum cleaner salesman. Okay? So one day I'm giving a product demonstration, you know, to the lady of the house, of course. And I don't know if it was her husband or whatever. Anyway, he comes home, takes one look at what's going on and just starts screaming at her. And that's not the part that struck me. The part that struck me was her reaction. She rolled up into the fetal position, just cowered.
She really did?
Yeah. I got my stuff and got the heck out of there.
Oh, there you go. I mean, humiliating in front of somebody else, too. I mean, that's amazing just to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you don't pull them aside to the back room and say, I don't want that person here. You know, I mean, to just do it like that, it just doesn't matter.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, abusive people, I mean, they will act a fool on anybody in public.
That's right.
They will. I'm like I said, a lot of stuff that I've seen with, you know, domestic violence and whatnot, it's been done behind closed doors. We know that for a fact. But the thing is, though, I'm like, they'll do, like, you know, say, like, verbal humiliation.
Make fun of them in front of others.
In public. Like, every time, you know, she says something, he rebuttals back by saying, well, no, you're stupid.
Yeah, questions her intelligence or, you know, calls her fat, calls her ugly, you know.
And that's a big behavior pattern, too. So if you have a friend, let's say, like, you're out to dinner with some couples, and you're sitting there and everybody's having to find dinner, and you know, your friend's over there sitting there, you know, next to her husband, or it could be vice versa. It could be the woman also. So we're not saying that the men are the only, you know, people that are actually abusing. It could be female, it could be male. But one person actually treats them badly, embarrassing them in front of people. That's a sign that they're being emotionally and mentally abused. Mm-hmm. I mean, because you don't do that to someone you love. I mean, there are occasions where that happens, where somebody has a little too much to drink and makes fun or says something. But I'm talking about on a daily basis. When that happens, that's abuse. That's abuse. That's what I think it is.
And I think you hit it earlier, Ashley. You don't actually have to raise your hand to the other person to be an abuser. And emotional. And in fact, mental and emotional can sometimes be even more cruel.
Oh, yeah, because you are completely brainwashing that person.
Yes, yeah.
It's interesting when I deal with clients that have gone through abuse like that, where they get a few hours away from their partner and they start kind of like pieces start coming together. But while they're with them, it's like literally they're in a blender. And I give this example. They're in the blender with the carpet, the rug, and everything, and the blender's going at full speed. And that's how their mind is going, because they're being brainwashed on a constant basis mentally. This is the way you're going to think, and this is why you think that. Mm-hmm. And it's all about control, and it's all about power. And so when an abuse happens, like in these situations here with the NFL recently, this has been physical abuse. This is physical. I see the marks on her face, or I see the marks on the child's butt, whatever. But this is different. This doesn't leave actual physical marks, but this does actually leave mental and emotional marks,
which can be, you know, even more severe.
Like a lot of times, also people feel that they can't do anything right. So when somebody's being emotionally beaten up in a relationship, they always second guess themselves that they can never do anything right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they're probably told on a daily basis that they never do anything right.
Exactly, and that they're stupid. You know,
exactly.
You know, oh, you're stupid. You never do anything right. You're fat. You're ugly. You know, whatever type of insult they throw at them on a regular basis. And like after a while, that's really going to put a strain on a person.
Yeah, nobody's going to like you. Nobody's going to love you. I'm the only person that loves you.
Exactly, exactly. I'm the only person that loves you. I mean, that's the key phrase right there. In fact, the key words in that phrase is I.
I'm the only.
Exactly. I'm the only one that loved you. No one else does. Out of, 7.6 billion people on this planet, I'm the only one that loves you, and you can't find anything better than me. And it mm-hmm. really does put a strain on somebody's psyche.
It
you
does.
Know? And like I do question, I'm like, if that is going on, then why do they stay? In a way, why do they stay? Maybe it's because they were brainwashed.
Yeah, they're brainwashed.
Brainwashed. Yeah, and like I said, I mean, perhaps leaving is more terrifying than actually staying. You know, the fear of the unknown.
Think about this. So if I sat there and told you, Keenan, over and over again for the next how many years, let's say like we move in together and I tell you that you're an idiot, you're awful, you're stupid, you'll never amount to anything. And you know what? You're lucky to have me because nobody else is good. If I tell you that long enough, you're going to believe
it. I'm going to believe it, yeah.
Because and that's so important for everybody listening tonight. Whatever you intake all the time, you believe. So if I tell you you're the smartest, the best person, you have it all together, you're a shining star, you're amazing. If I tell you you're amazing, you're a shining star over and over again, guess what? You're going to start figuring that out. If I do the opposite of that, that's going to become your reality. Because that's what happens in our reality. That's what we make, is we make words become things. And because we have these minds that collect all the information, that becomes our reality. We are no good. And so if you have somebody telling you that all the time, well, guess what? You don't feel like you're that good. You're scared. You can't amount to anything else. You're lucky to have that person, right? You're holding on for dear life and hoping that person doesn't leave you because nobody else is going to love you.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and like, let's speak about the economic factors of it. I mean, the thing is, say she or he does not have a job. You know what? Hold up.
What? What?
No, this,
Keenan in the house.
No, this. I mean, this just crossed my mind.
Uh oh.
What about those guys, right? Who do not have jobs?
Mm-hmm.
But yet they are
the abusers.
Yes, they are the abusers, and they're constantly telling their significant other how they're not about anything and no one loves them except for, nobody loves you but me.
Right.
But yet they fully depend on that woman for food, shelter, and companionship.
That is insane manipulation.
He really has her under his thumb, doesn't he?
Yeah.
That is manipulation. I mean, I've seen situations where that literally the husband is sitting on the couch. Or you see flip-flop with the wife doing the same thing, and they don't do anything. But that person owes them everything.
I was about to say, I've seen it in situations where the wife, treats the man that way. You're just the man. Go out and work. I'll stay home and watch.
Eat bonbons and watch TV and call my friends and go get my hair done every day and do this and that. I think the biggest thing besides that is that's major manipulation, by the way. That's major emotional, mental emotional manipulation. And that's something that, man, you got no job, you got no prospects, but yet you can still manipulate somebody into believing that you're the whole world. I think the biggest thing is you wonder if you're crazy. You wonder if you're the crazy.
Yeah, I mean, what's wrong with me?
I must be going crazy.
I must be going nuts. I mean, is this really what life has in store for me?
You're around somebody when you're getting brainwashed and you're going through this, you see these situations and you deal with these situations. And at first you kind of, the first part of it, when you first get in the very beginning of it, is you know how you were before you entered that relationship, right? You have an idea.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then all of a sudden you're kind of like, you're hearing all this everything. Is it me? Because the first reaction of the human conscience is to sit there and say, it's got to be me. It's all, you know how everybody says, it's not all about you. Well, you know what? It's the world is all about us, okay? So we internalize it and say, oh, I got to be crazy. I must be insane. And that's how it all kind of goes, because you're blaming yourself for this abusive relationship because you wonder, am I hearing it wrong? Is it really about that? Are they really saying that to me? And I think that's something that we have to sit there and question, is that if you think you're going crazy, that's something to realize. I mean, what's going on around you? I mean, if you feel uncertain to the fact that you don't know what's happening, that's something to really kind of wake up to, as well as if you're feeling emotionally numb or if you're feeling helpless. And I think in that situation, that partner might see you as property. They might see you as a sex object and not a person. And again, it goes back to the property issue. If you feel helpless, you are probably somebody's property and you've allowed it to be. Right.
Well, I think it, you know, kind of going back to the point I was making earlier, you know, you're helpless to leave or do anything about the situation because the alternative is worse. It's more terrifying.
Exactly.
Either that or you're just, it's just flat out fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, I mean,
you've gotten complacent. And the thing is, if you do leave, guess what? You got to pick up and start new and fresh.
You know, you've got
what is out there.
You've got to make all the decisions. You've got to make the living. You know, you have to take responsibility for your own life. For some people, that's terrifying.
Yes, it is.
That is terrifying. So when we return, we're going to talk a few more about the signs that you are or a friend is in an abusive relationship, as well as we're going to enter into our concept of what needs to be done for abusers and what we believe the consequences should be. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess on 660 The Answer.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And we're discussing how to honestly assess if you or someone you know is in an abusive relationship. You know, right before the break, we were discussing various concepts about feeling. Do you feel afraid, or does your friend feel afraid of the partner? Do you feel like you want to avoid certain topics out of fear of angering your partner? Do you feel that you can't do anything right because of your partner? Do you believe that you deserve to be hurt or mistreated? Do you wonder if you're the one who's crazy? That's my favorite one. Do you feel emotionally numb or helpless? And I think on the flip-flop, we need to kind of look at behavior. And I think in order to understand if you're in an abusive relationship, or if a friend of yours is in an abusive relationship, or a family member for that matter, you really need to realize about behavior, because sometimes behavior dictates it. Do you see that somebody has an unpredictable temper, a bad temper, an overwhelming unpredictable temper? That can be excessive jealousy or possessiveness, and that can be a total sign of abuse, of mental, emotional, or physical abuse. I mean, because it doesn't always have to be physical abuse. And we have to remember here, too, we're not just talking about the female being abused in this situation. The tables can be turned, and we've seen it happen before. I mean, Keenan, you've even gone out on calls for it before.
Yes, I have.
So, I mean, so it happens. And I think that there's probably more men that are being abused, a lot more men that don't want to talk about it.
You know, they're not going to report it at all, because the thing is that they report it, and all of a sudden, well, I've heard cases where a guy would get beat by his woman, and then the cops will come out and say, "You let a woman beat you up, man?
No, that's awful."
Yeah, I mean, and stuff like that. So it's like, you know,
I have to be honest with you, Keenan. There's been time in my life where I was thinking the same thing. It's like, you let her do that to you? I mean, just knock her out, you know?
Yeah, exactly. But the thing is, though, if he knocks her out, then what happens?
He goes to jail.
Exactly. I mean, like, what consequences do you want to face? A, go to jail, or B, get called a punk and be pretty much, you know, emasculated.
Well, that's
by
true.
Society. I mean, you're
which
right.
one
do you want to do?
What do you get out of it? You're
exactly.
right. Because, yeah, you either get made fun of,
mm-hmm.
which is a sad state of affairs. I mean, this is really out of control, because, you know, we don't even look at abuse on the same levels. And I know that there's a lot of men out there, maybe there's some listening right now, that are going through this. And, I mean, if you're going through this and it's hurting you, which I'm sure it is, you got to make a change. I mean, just as many as the women that are going through it, the men need to make a change too, because it's not going to get any better. It's only going to continue to get worse. And I think that also you have to look at the partner, and if they're hurting you or they're threatening to hurt you is just as bad. I mean, to threaten somebody over and over again repeatedly, that's emotional abuse and mental abuse, but also that's borderline, you're already hurting them. I mean, yeah, physically, yeah. Already hurting them.
Right? I mean, like, there is a law of, you know, I think it's called communicating a verbal threat. Right. That is actually against the law. You know what I mean? You just can't look at someone and threaten them. Because at the same time, though, I mean, I do know someone who does it a lot. I mean, she does it a lot. She's always threatening. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. This. That,
wow.
I mean, she does. And I just look at her and I say, no, you're not. You're not.
But like, you know, she's not serious or she's not capable of it.
She's just not going to do it because she's that lazy.
Oh, yeah, exactly. She doesn't want to do it because she's lazy. Got it. You know, but a lot of times people do this abusive activity because they are jealous, they're possessive. But think about this. A lot of times when somebody's in a relationship like this, and anybody that's listening tonight has maybe seen this before, is they want to control that person, where they go and what they do. And when somebody's in an abusive relationship, no matter if it's physical, mental, or emotional, that partner wants to control everything that other person does. They want to know where they are, who they're with, when they're coming back. They might even go over there to see where they are, and they're not happy unless they're there at a dictated time and place when they're supposed to be home.
You know, I know a lady whose ex-husband literally would not allow her to talk on the telephone. It's like, so when he was home, then her 100% attention had to be on her. So let's say her sister called her.
Okay.
You know, will you get off the phone?
Yeah, because she had to have all her attention with him.
Yeah, and
she didn't see that as abuse, though. Probably she just was like, "Oh, he just wants my attention."
And she would demurely, you know, okay, gotta go, you know, and finally it took him, you know, becoming a drug addict for her to you know, wake up and realize, you know, that it wasn't a healthy relationship. But she put up with that for I think about 10 years or so.
Like keeping you from seeing your friends and family or talking to him on the phone. Yeah. I mean, a lot of people do that, or your friends have to be these friends.
Yeah.
You know, like for some women I know that have been in these types of relationships, the only friends they're allowed to have are men that the man doesn't find as a problem.
Right.
Not a problem. Or they had to have been friends from high school or what have you, and they dictate who they can and can't talk to. And on the flip side, I know men that the women have told them, you cannot have lunch with a female, no matter if it's in your work or not. I mean, you know, just dictating everything about their life, and that's pretty abusive, because that's really taking the power of one individual and taking it as yours. That's basically claiming, I own you.
Yep.
You are not allowed to make decisions on your own. I mean, and that's key. And it's like a lot of times, when, you know, when you're around this situation, and I think all of us probably have maybe several people that are involved in a situation like this. You know, you don't always see everything, but there's certain things or certain sidebar that you can actually attain to. So think about this. A lot of times abusers limit the access of money or phones or a vehicle. Or like, in certain cases, they buy these things for people, but it's theirs. They own that property just like they own that person.
Correct.
And you are allowed to use this property because this is mine, and you're my property, and you can use that when I allow you to.
And they're going
to
remind you over and over again how they bought it.
Because you don't have any of your own money.
Exactly.
You're not good enough. Because it's a whole emotional thing. Because think about the abuse. And when we talk about abuse, when you see somebody that's been physically abused, the emotion and mental always goes with it too. I mean, it's not just one thing. I mean, somebody just like, you know, hit the crap out of somebody. So, I mean, also, like, you know, sex is an issue, too. I mean, if somebody is a property, it doesn't matter if they want to or not. I mean, that's part of the deal. You will have sex, and you're going to do whatever that person wants you to do.
What was that movie with Julia Roberts where she...
That movie was awful. Yeah, I remember that.
What was the name of it? Not Silence of the Lambs.
Silence of the Lambs.
You said, what's the name of that movie with Julia Roberts? I mean, she's done lots of movies.
The one where she had to have the towels in exactly the same order.
Yes, like, that one. Where the crazy, you know, husband...
The music.
You know,
chased her. What was the name of that?
Man, anyway, so you know what I'm talking about. So he was physically, emotionally, mentally abusive to her, and they showed a scene of them having sex, and she wasn't enjoying it, but she had to do it because she knew that she had no choice.
And if you remember correctly, they were in an amazing home in like Malibu.
Like on the beach,
$20 million home. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's amazing. The flip side, like you said, like, you know, some homeboy just sitting on the couch, you know, just waiting for the wife to make the money and still has them wrapped around. I mean, there's probably not abuse, like physical abuse with that, but there's probably
there is like, you know, some psychological mental abuse and I'm stuttering. I don't know why. Anyway.
But think about the destroying of items too. So like, I know people that have actually said, you know, I came home late or something like that, and their spouse or their boyfriend or girlfriend had thrown all their stuff on the lawn. That's another sign of abuse. I mean, you're going to take somebody's items and personal property and throw it on the front lawn.
Yeah.
I mean, all over the place.
Yeah.
And so they show up and all their stuff's on the front lawn.
In front of the neighbors.
In front of the neighbor. They don't care who sees it.
Yeah, they don't care.
And the neighbors have seen this how many times? Because it happens like once a week.
Yeah.
And it's all because they weren't in the place that they needed to be at the exact time they said they were going to be there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are signs of abuse. And if you hear somebody that's going through this, or if you yourself is going through this, you need to take a step back and figure out what is it in your life that you want to accomplish. Does it include this person that's abusing you? And there is a way to get out, and there's places, and there's help, and there's centers, and there's also treatment that you can get to leave these situations. If you have a friend that's going through it, talking with them and expressing your concern is the first key. I'm away from the abusive partner and kind of dealing with it from that angle. And I think that's inherently important, because you can leave the abuse. The abuse is not you. You've been duped into believing this for a long time. However, if you get away from this abuse, you know, it's like being held down by a huge weight. I mean, you're being held down. Every single thing you do, you can't do it, because you're never going to be able to get away from this abusive relationship. And you got to move on and move past that. And there's people that can help with that as well.
Well, and I think that if you find yourself in that position and you have close friends and family that you trust, you know, who are trying to say these things to you, don't just shut them out. Don't say, okay, well, this is none of your business, or, you know, I can handle this or whatever. Listen to what other people are telling you, because they're seeing things from different perspectives that maybe, mm-hmm. you know, you're too close to the situation to realize. And if you find yourself in one or more of the situations that Ashley just described, then seek help from the police, from a, you know, therapist or a psychologist, or, you know, from social services, something. You know, if whether you're a man or a woman, you're not alone. The help is there, you know, for you to seek out.
And nobody's going to be upset with you for coming clean and expressing your honesty, and either you're scared or you need to get out. Nobody's going to be upset with you. You just have to tell them, because nobody can read your mind a lot of times. And some people don't know what we just went through. So stay tuned. When we return, we're going to be talking about the specific consequences that we believe abusers should have to undergo. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes. I can lift you up.
I can show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be. Get in here. Give us your perspective. We're listening. And you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we've been exploring the six factors that lead to domestic abuse, how you can honestly assess if you or someone you know is in an abusive relationship. And now we're beginning to discuss and understand the specific consequences that abusers should have to undergo. And I know recently in the headlines, we discussed this about Ray Rice, Adrian Peterson, Greg Hardy, Ray McDonald, even Rihanna and Chris Brown. I mean, all these concepts, like Ray Rice, for example. Let's go back to that. What are the consequences that these abusers should have to undergo?
Well, you know, Ashley, now I'm going to make a distinguishment between physical abuse and emotional and mental abuse, because, you know, physical abuse is a little bit more concrete. You know, you can tell.
I got you.
Uh-huh. Emotional and mental abuse is, you know, kind of psychological you know, maybe beauty is in the eye of the beholder, so to speak, on that one. So I'm going to stick with physical abuse for just a moment. I believe that there are some crimes where if there's not a deterrent, then there's no incentive to not do it again, okay? I think a person who is capable of physically abusing someone else is going to do it again, unless there are concrete consequences, okay?
I agree with that, concrete consequences, and I know where you're going. We'll continue that. But I also believe, you know, there are concrete consequences for somebody that murders someone. But people still murder people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the I'll say in my personal case, I mean, I've kind of, you know, I'm a little iffy, you know, personally on the death penalty. I mean, I used to be a real strong death penalty advocate, but I've come around to believe that, I mean, it's not really a deterrent, is it?
No, it's not.
I think the reason you...
It's kind of the way out.
Yeah, I mean, I think you use the death penalty in order to ensure that that person never does it again, because if you're capable of committing murder, which, remember, by definition, murder means you planned to do it, right? So you meant to do it. Then you're capable of doing it again. And I
premeditated.
Yeah, it's premeditated. So I think that a person who is capable of physically abusing someone else is capable of doing it again.
So you believe that there should be some jail time involved with this?
There's got to be some. There's got to be, say, okay, you know what? If you do this again, then, you know, here's what's happening to you now. Do you want more of this? Now, I'm not saying, you know, of course, this is Texas, and for those of you who listen to iHeartRadio, you know, here in Texas, we have fairly conservative views on, you know, crime and punishment. You know, you got to be tough on crime in this state, right? I don't necessarily believe that you just throw them away, you know, throw them in jail and lock them up and throw away the key.
I mean, I think that jail, that is a tool, but I think that we've used jail so much and there needs to be so much prison reform and jail reform that it's unbelievable, because you have these people that literally, like, for drugs, they go in there for drugs, for, you know, for having drugs, and they go into the prison system. They don't go to rehab. None of this happens. And so you have all of those pieces of society just sitting there in jail doing nothing. Like, for example, if somebody abuses and, you know, physically abuses their wife, I mean, I understand that you should have some sort of deterrent, but I also think there should be a psychiatric evaluation. I think there should be a buttload of therapy involved, and I believe that that's the only way to end this dysfunctional cycle.
Well, people go to jail, and they come out better criminals than what they were.
Yeah, because they're surrounded by criminals.
Yeah, exactly. You're surrounded by criminals. I'm like, you're in there for a crime, so you're surrounded by criminals, and what are y'all going to talk about? Crime stuff. What you in for? What you in for?
And how do we do it better?
Exactly.
Now we can all hang out and do it together.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. How do we do it better? I mean, because think about it. Nowadays, criminals are getting a lot smarter, and even abusers are becoming a lot smarter. For example, I mean, they're not strong. They may not be throwing strikes to the face anymore. You know, they may be throwing strikes to the body. You know, to where, you know...
You don't see it.
Exactly, to where you don't see it.
Here's,
you know?
I understand what you're saying, Keenan. Let me throw this out there for you. One of the things we just talked about tonight is an abuser does it out of a sense of power, okay? Mm-hmm. When you go to jail,
you
don't have that
power
anymore. And I'm not just talking about over the person that you're abusing. I mean, you lose all sense of power. And
but
so,
you want to regain it.
Well, I mean, but or it could have the effect of, you know, I don't ever want to come back to this place again. And I will never do anything ever to jeopardize that.
Yeah, but they're going to wind up there anyway, because once you get out, I mean, there's really not a whole lot you can do as far as making a living wise. So, you know, you can't make a living. So what do you do? Well, I got to do something to put food on the table.
Well,
so they're going to end up committing more crimes, and they're just going to end up going back in jail, because with prison, I mean, like, all they do is like, okay, you're in prison. So sit back and think about what you did, instead of, hey, let's get, like, say, a counselor or a therapist or something like that to know, I mean, to find out what exactly is the underlying factor, you know,
the reason for abuse.
Yeah,
why are you abusing this person?
Exactly. Why are you? I mean, you know, instead of like, hey, let's go back to that one incident. No, let's go back to the time when you were three.
Yeah, let's go back to the beginning and let's evaluate this with cognitive behavioral strategies and figure out what it was that happened. Let's do some hypnosis therapy as well. But you're not going to get that in jail.
No, you're not.
It's like the addict that goes to jail. The addict needs to go to a rehab. I'm not talking about a nice rehab. I'm talking about a rehab. It's just a rehab facility. Just like I see what you're saying about jail, Bill. I understand that. I do think that there has to be some consequences, but I do feel like sometimes putting abusers in jail, it's kind of like getting rid of the problem just for the meantime, because I just don't think that they're getting better. I mean, I think there needs to be some sort of psychiatric evaluation, as well as I think there needs to be some sort of home type therapy, sober home, an abuse type home where they have to go live. And I don't think it's just about the person that actually hits the other person. I think it's both people involved. I think it's about the abuser and the abusee, because they're both in it together. And it's not going to change, because if the abuser comes back after having therapy and the person that was abused didn't have therapy, something's going to happen again. I mean, there's a reason why this cycle continues, right? Because nobody's getting to the heart of the matter. Everybody's avoiding it, sweeping it under the rug. I mean, think about what happened with the NFL. They said, oh, this video is not going to get out. Let's continue this. And because the video got out and because this has happened, they're having to backtrack and do all this stuff without thinking about, okay, the causal reason for this abuse is because of what? Well, we don't know. We got to find out. We got to do some evaluation. But I don't think evaluation happens by just saying go away.
No, it doesn't.
Well, and also, you know, maybe we can distinguish between levels and not to, you know, pick a fine to find a comb on this. But, you know, a strike, holding a hand, a strike to the face is different from just, you know, going Mike Tyson. On
somebody, I agree.
You know, I think if you do the Mike Tyson thing, you know, fists flying and, you know, broken noses and, you know, that type of thing, then, I mean, if you did that to somebody on the street, then that's assault and battery. And you can go to jail, you know, for a while on that. And, you know, and why should that, in my mind, why should that be any different if it's a domestic abuse situation? Now, a slap on the face. Okay, I can see, you know, okay, you know, maybe not.
Well, it's a slippery slope effect. Yeah. You're saying, okay, well, we don't know. I mean, who do we, you know, take into therapy? But see, that's the thing about jail is that I feel that a lot of times jail is jail. But I think that therapy and actual psychiatric evaluation and spending, I'm not talking about you going for every other day or every other week. I'm talking about deep psychological therapy to figure out what is going on. That's the only way to stop this.
You know, and I'm not even opposed to that. You know, let's take the example of Ray Rice. Okay, of course, you know, and yes, you know, TMZ, you know, spruced up the video, you know, to make it look, you know, look bad, but you can see it. I mean, that's a Joe Frazier left hook he just uncorked.
I'm like, you can see it. You know? But the thing is, though, when you're the third party trying to actually handle these domestic violence disputes, you know, I mean, coming from a person that has been in the third party, i.e. law enforcement, right? Here's the thing, and I don't know when I was trained, and I've seen it take place in the real world. You got to handle that situation with kid gloves, because say if the, you know, if the guy is just beating his wife and you respond, you rough up that man, guess what? The wife is going to turn on you.
Oh, I know, because it's
exactly
because of the obvious reason.
Exactly. The wife is going to turn on you, because the thing is, for some reason, I mean, like, couples don't know. I mean, well, couples know one another better than you know that couple.
But it's also amazing, insane emotional codependency.
Yes, it is. It's crazy. And like, what's Ray White, his wife's name?
Janae.
I'm like, she's the one that took to the interwebs to pretty much say, look, stay out of my business. And she said, you messed up my life.
I was explaining to Ashley before the show, the reason he only got two games was because she actually went to Commissioner Goodell and said, I was 50% at fault, I contributed to it, so please don't, you know, throw the book at him.
Yeah.
And that's the reason he only got two games. She actually advocated on his behalf.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what abusees do for their abusers. I mean, because it's codependency. But that's why they have CODA meetings for codependency.
To me, that's just another reason to, you know, take somebody like Ray Rice and say 60 days or 90 days in jail, brother. You know, because
I agree there should be some sort of
even though she you know is you know kind of defending him as a society. That's I think that falls on us to say, okay, ma'am, you know, you're the victim here, okay? You know, just, you know, you may not be the most unbiased person in the world, so there has to be specific consequences.
There does have to be specific consequences, and it can't be up and down. It can't be a slippery slope. Everybody's got to deal with the same consequences, and I think that's what we're getting at tonight. Whether it's jail time with psychiatric treatment, all this in one is awesome. But you can't give one person two games and one person being kicked out of the league. I just think that's wrong, and that sets a bad example for the children and for society.
Yeah.
Has to be even.
Keenan, that's a great show.
Yes, thank you. I mean, like, you know me, I came in here straight from the plane, so.
Good job.
That was hilarious. From the plane.
Very good. So. He's committed, and
he
I
is
like
committed.
That. Great show, Bill.
Thanks, Ashley. This is a great topic tonight. I learned a lot.
I did, too. I learned a lot, too. So stay tuned. We have a great show for you next week, and keep your head held high and realize that you, too, can live your true life. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in three shakes.